Hello, boys and girls. This is Burl Ives, and I've come to sing some songs for you. Here's a song about a gray goose, the strangest goose. The year after Miriam's father left, she was given an album. Last Sunday morning, Lord, 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 oh, my daddy went a-hunting, Lord, Lord, Lord. Miriam was forbidden to operate her parents' hi-fi, built into a long rosewood cabinet that also included a radio, the most fantastical item of furniture in their lives, purchased on installment at Brown's Appliance on Greenpoint Avenue, and fixture of contention in any number of speeches on the subject of what her father termed in grip of one of his baroque and finicky tantrums, their slavery to commerce. And along came the gray goose, Lord, Lord, Lord. Miriam had to request the Burl Ives each time. Rose handled what she'd only call an album, in a manner Miriam related to the Jewish ritual actions Rose hastened to despise.
The slipping of scrolls from a cabinet, her grandfather's tender sheathing of the afikomen within its napkin at Passover.
Really anywhere Miriam had ever witnessed a Jew handling papers of importance or turning the pages of a book as if unworthy, grateful, ennobled, discreetly defiant, all of these at once. Rose tutored her in this action of handling a long player like the Burl Ives or her own Beethoven symphonies, narrating what she'd still forbid Miriam even to attempt getting right. Middle fingers paired at the label, steadying thumb at the disc's outer edge. Never so much as a breath grazing the sacred, dark-gleaming music carved into its canyons during the disc's passage in and out of the crisp inner papers. That the papers themselves should ride back into the cardboard sleeve just so. A wrong glance could probably scratch the thing. God knew this was a house of wrong glances. He was 6 weeks a-falling, Lord, 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 and they had a feather-picking, Lord, Lord, Lord. For what seemed a whole year of life, Miriam sat entranced or bored, stilled anyhow, mulling what Ives seemed to have to impart, cheery parables of ducks and whales and goats and geese. Once Saul Eaglin, making his mysterious visits, dapper bullshitting Saul before he'd been humbled, Saul on the make, stopped in the living room to jape at Miriam and her album. "What's your kid know from ducks, Rose? You ever been to a farm, doll?" "She knows from ducks," said Rose. "She's been to a Chinese restaurant." Animals, in Rose's remorselessly unsentimental urban pragmatist's views, were for eating, sure. No filthy pets for Miriam. Rose frowned at children's books when they veered in directions zoological or anthropomorphic to any extent beyond Aesop, with his ironclad morals, always with Rose's special emphasis on the bitterness of grapes, the inaccessibility of tidbits residing at the bottom of a vase. To sentimentalize a duckling or rabbit was associated for Miriam with her mother's contempt for Catholic ritual. Easter eggs, bland milk chocolate bunnies. "Too bad, but I'd never have German chocolate in the house," Rose would say, in irony and sorrow, then following with her regular sighing incantation. "They made the very best of everything. Of everything." Smears of ash, idiot Irish and Italian neighbors under the knuckle of idiot priests. So what was the anomalous gray goose who wouldn't be made a meal of meant to signify? "He was 9 months a-cooking, Lord, Lord, Lord. Then they put him on the table, Lord, Lord, Lord. And the knife couldn't cut him, Lord, Lord, Lord. And the fork couldn't stick him, Lord, Lord, Lord." Where was Aesop when you needed him? Of all the songs on the album, this was the one Miriam studied helplessly. "So they took him to the sawmill, Lord, Lord, Lord. Oh, it broke the saw's tooth out, Lord, Lord, Lord." At last, one day, Rose took mercy on her daughter and explained. The answer, when it came, wasn't difficult, though Miriam, at 8, could never have guessed it.